Radio, the platform for the unknown to get known here at DTF Radio. So Hannibal's about to bust that Roots Crew mixology. Thanks, Hannibal. Appreciate it. Tell them where they could find you.
On the gram at DJHannibal06 and always on the magic of SoundCloud.
Knocked up 9 months ago, and what she finna have, she don't know. She want neo soul, cause hip hop is old. She don't want no rock and roll. She want platinum or ice and gold. She want a whole lot of sun to fold. If you are obstacles, you just drive your cold. Cause 1 month you don't stop the show. Little Mary's bad. In these streets she done ran ever since when the heat began. I told a girl, look here, calm down, I'ma hold your hand to enable you to peep the plan. Cause you was quick to learn, and we can make money to burn. If you the latest game, I don't ask for much, but enough room to spread my way, and the world finna know my name.
I don't ask for much these days, and I don't bitch and whine if I don't get my way. I only wanna fertilize another behind my lover's back. I sit and watch it go.
Who suffer and who catch all the pain. Just for the breath of life, I thank my maker. My mind say I come from hustlers and shakers. My mind building on skyscrapers and acres. He said, take us back to where we belong. I try to write a song as sweet as the Psalms. Though I'm the type to bear arms and wear my heart on my sleeve. Even when I fail in God, I believe. Read the days and weave through the maze. And the seasons so amazing. Feed them and raise them. Seasons are aging. Earthquakes, wars, and rumors. I want us to get by, but we more than consumers. We more than shooters. More than looters. Created in his image so God lived through us. And even in this generation, living through computers, only love, love, love can reboot us. Come on.
Contagious kamikaze sound splash like a shot from a gauge until your body sound clash. Hit of the class, magna cum laude beats, bring the beat, stop me. Flagrant, foul, rowdy, read pipe, a deep type. Disposition, keep them flipping, keep them playing they position. Keep making the people listen what I spent. Put them out on the limb, got tears, got blood, got sweat. Leaking out the not setting the trend, we never listen to them. It's like trying to take a piss in the wind. My home team doing visitors in. Yo, don't test them, they all standing close to the edge, so don't stress them. Now who the type built the laugh? It's no question the master, villain in black. With no steps in my sound, hitting you hard from every direction, your head and your shoulder area, your midsection.
Welcome and let it regret it. They said if you can't beat them, you join them. I say forget it, cause when you join them, who listen think it's black thought, open your eyes and don't blink. Yo, to rock this mic is like a basic instinct, but do set
behind me, the mic champion, more than a step beyond. Motherfucker sweating me, begging me just to get me on macro cosmic micro master.
Hey yo, I'm overweight, people want to see the way that yo look in the mirror, watch what from S-Pay. No,
said a prayer with my eyes closed as I loaded the Roscoe's at the sink, yo. I've been a bullet on the brink, but being a young king, probably different than you think, though. The quills that I dip into the ink go to document it. You'll remember me when I'm extinct, yo. Sing the carol of the young pharaoh who slew Leviathan with one arrow as I revolve through the gun barrel just to watch it unravel. I tell him have heart, must travel. Keep my legacy alive even if I don't survive till a curtain call. First of all, realize what we're working towards. Fuck around, find what we searching for. The earth, my name written in cursive form.
Who lives? Who dies? Who holds on to all our lives? Time and time and time again. Will they tell your story in the end?
Who dies? Who tells your story?
Who lives? And who
and can't let it go, not cold, unforgettable. The pedestal I'm on, I'ma end up on a federal reserve note. Your money with a hip-hop quote. I might change legislation with some shit that I wrote. From boats that we came on to lights with our name on. Through hard times, we spark minds to keep the flame on. I write hard rhymes like I'm running out of time. Truthfully, my stopwatch is one with the divine. Centuries from now, they have played my freestyle and say this is the brilliance of a black American child. Endowed by the streets of the shop, proud. Known to move in silence, but could be loud. The noise of big girls and boys building to destroy the perception of urban aggression. My life is up aggressive, of course, for the oppressors of chorus. My story is the glory of the Lord.
We're talking about fathers and his son specifically.
Time again, will they tell your story in the end?
some fun with that one right there. That shit is taking me back. Word them up, word them up. Hey, y'all. How many people ready for this joint right here? How many people recognize this song? This shit right here is called You Got Me, you know what I mean? It's on our album, which is called Things Fall Apart. And we got this shit, you know what I mean? And on the song, Erykah Badu is singing the chorus. This real smoothed out melodic shit, but guess what? Tonight, I'm gonna introduce you to the young lady from Philadelphia that actually wrote that piece. You know what I'm saying? Check it out. And she down with the Roots crew, and she go by the name of Miss Jill Scott. I want y'all to put y'all hands together. Say what? Give it up. Jelly from Philly. Word up. You're not ready. All right, now for all of y'all out there that know how this song go, I want y'all to sing along with love. You know what I mean? And if you don't know, then just open your minds and your ears and feel this shit. She keep telling me, telling me.
If you were worried about where I've been or who I saw or what club I went to with my homies, baby, don't worry, you know that you got me. If you were worried about where I've been or who I saw or what...
So we come in raw like that, right? Hannibal had the Jill Scott version. The Jill Scott, Jilly from Philly version. Of that You Got Me. For all those that were listening, I hope you know that that was the Roots tribute by DJ Hannibal. Hopefully, you know what I'm saying, he didn't sneak in any Radiohead, any Aerosmith. You know, Hannibal's a little alternative, so he likes to slip in some different shit. But I definitely wanted to give some kudos to the gods at the Roots crew. When I meet you, just know that I did this here today to say thank you for the music that you provided for the soul. Soulful rap music, soulful hip hop that came across to the world and also came across through the internationally local channel here at DTF Radio via the Butters Basic Show, for which I am thankful to be a part of, and I give libations to my ancestors regularly. There's nothing strange about this. We're the platform for the unknown to get known. My name is Butter. I love it. Thank you, Roots, for giving that soulful hip-hop, man. No matter what, your music is timeless, like Stevie Wonder, timeless like Michael Jackson, timeless like, who else can I think of? I listen to the Carpenters sometimes, the Bee Gees. Timeless, like I like old soul. It's what it is, man, here at the Butters Basic Show every Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m. here at DTF Radio. DJ Hannibal, man, tell them where they can find you at.
Clearly at DJ Hannibal 06 on the gram and also on SoundCloud, DJ Hannibal.
Man, sitting to the left of you, the best of you. Militant Mose is on the mic with us today.
I'm not sure what that means, the best of you, but hey, Hannibal, that was dope. I didn't even know you was DJing.
Yo, here's the thing, right? For all those that's listening right now, if you didn't know what that means by the left of you, the best of you, when you give props to somebody on the side of you that is also championing your situation, they gonna give the best of them, so it better be the best of you, motherfucker. Like, we all out here trying to make sure that the grind is on time and on point. Not calling you a motherfucker.
I'm fine. I am a motherfucker. I have fucked some mothers before.
Oh, so. Man, I'm so done with it. There's some hoes in this house. There's some moes in this house. Yo, follow Militant Moes on the gram, y'all. He's a dope person. He's an activist at heart. And also does a lot of great things behind the scenes that you may not always know about. But, like, you know, there's so many people that do that. Before we come around the table to speak to our guest of honor, I definitely would like to honor this guest who sits to the left of Militant Moles, the Black Country Club. Follow him on the gram. He has an interesting premise that I like very much, where he is supporting the Black entrepreneur. Tell him how you do that, hon.
Yeah, well, basically it's like a seven-step process.
Turn that mic this way so I can get to hear you properly.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now okay. I can.
All right, cool. Yeah, basically this is like a step process, like a seven-step process. I would call it like a one-stop shop, where we take the pain out of starting your own business, because everybody, like now, like fast forward 2020, everybody knows that they need different streams of income. I mean, they always knew, but now, especially with the pandemic going on, like it's forcing people now to say, I got no choice. Now I have to jump out the window and do something for extra money. So we just take
for extra money, or because my purpose now has to equal money?
Yeah, it.
That's my question to you.
I think that's a loaded question, because I never did anything for money. But I know that the main motivator in people actually becoming entrepreneurs is money. Like in real estate, people will say, hey, I want to join because it's a lot of money, or whatever business is a lot of money. So, you know, I think you kind of find your purpose as you go. So yeah, you know, like people are taking their destiny into their own hands, and I'm just the tool to say, hey, if you're going to do it, well, do it right, you know? Start your
LLC.
Do it
the right way.
Yeah, start your LLC. Like, make it a bit, like, make it a business. You know, everybody wants to.
Are you the person that people should look towards for assistance with the resources that you have to get it done?
Yes, definitely.
All right. And if it makes you money, what's wrong with that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, again, it's not. I'm going to get the money back tenfold later on, because the goal is, after you get your business and you're making money, we're going to connect. We might go try to buy a building together or a store together or whatever else. So I don't need to make the money. I need for our Black folks to think, how can we buy this block? How can we buy this area? How can we buy this town? The money is the easy. I never had a problem with making money, you know? I think people get wrapped up in the word money. Like when money is money equals the work you put in. You work hard, you're gonna make money. You don't work hard, you're not gonna make money. That's the bottom line.
So should somebody always put in sweat equity before money actually gets made, or
yeah, definitely.
Is money just something that has to be had in pocket first before sweat equity gets put in?
Yeah,
what's your conversation on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, speaking from experience, I've had to put in sweat equity since I was 10. I was selling oils, incense, lotion, CDs, DVDs in there, get my hands on too. I mean, but sometimes you get lucky. You be in the right place at the right time. I can't say you not. Some people hit the lotto, or some people have an accident where they get lawsuit money. You know, I've just never been that lucky. I always kind of had to grind for mine. So I think that when you hear a lot of these millionaire stories, their stories are always surrounded by sweat equity.
Go ahead, hon. Talk about it.
Yeah, I think everybody, like, sweat equity, to me, that's the key. Like, I don't have...
A lot of people don't know the terminologies. When you get people in your fold, do you get to talk to them about what all these terminologies mean? Sweat equity, you know, different financial... Do you give financial advice? What is it exactly that you give through your organization?
Yeah, well, definitely. Like, I mean, first and foremost, I want to tell, like, I ask people, like, let's say when you're talking to the kids in the community, right? And early on, you'll say, what do you want to do? I think all kids kind of know who they want to be when they're young. But as I think it gets skewed as we go into the education system, and the system kind of molds you for what you should do rather than your passion. They say, oh, you're going to do this, it's going to make money. Then it's like, all right, I'm going to pick the career that gives me the most money.
Well, don't parents normally install those values?
I mean, charity does begin at home, but I don't think that a lot of parents in our Black communities are installing those values based on what I see.
So let's take a pause for just 1 second, right? Because here at the Butters Basic Show, the series right now is based around anger management for the diaspora,
mm-hmm.
right? And today's conversation is about fathers becoming, or that already are, fathers mm-hmm. alive in the hood.
Definitely.
Sitting to the left of you, the best of you, please acknowledge that. The gentleman that's next to you. What's up, Kenny?
Peace, Queen.
Talk right into that mic and tell these people what your organization entails.
Well, what we do with Fathers Alive in the Hood is it's a lot, right? From 2012, the organization was initiated from the grassroots level by taking to action when it was us killing us, right? And it was like two of the...
Which is something that is not unheard of, or, right. You know, any country that you, I would love, you know, sorry to interrupt you, but like realistically, when you say us killing us, people in general kill people, right? But black on black crime, which is the thing that they like to coin as if there's not Indian on Indian crime, Asian on Asian crime, white on white crime. Is there, you know, something about that in your...
When I look at it, I know for a fact that black people it's just not black people killing black people. That's one. But due to the fact that the media is being so much exploited right now, where they are actually putting these particular thoughts in the atmosphere, this is where the individual will gravitate to, and it will become their reality. So now when we're dealing with young black boys that have not even had the key terms to identify what being a man is, they still move in their emotions. So due to the fact they're emotional, an offense can pretty much take someone's life because it was an offense that he didn't know how to articulate, that he didn't know how to express. But that anger of being in that community, that whole experience and being in the communities that we come up in, is just like a project, which is an experiment, right? And if we can acknowledge in an experiment, we can identify the project, because we've been the project since the beginning of the slavery. They said reparations and things of that nature. And when you think about...
I'm sorry, but sometimes we like to bust a couple gunshots when somebody says some things that's like really explosive. But like, even when you think about the projects, a lot of times, and this is one thing I definitely had to touch on, rites of passage for young men.
Right.
Is whether you've been to Spofford, you've been to Rikers, whether you've been, you know, if you ever, you know, did some wicked type of thing, like, and you got away with it, like... I'm not saying that this is a positive thing, but back in the days, like, you know, if we've been affected so long by different things that have not built the community, but have caused distress in the community of the projects or even neighborhoods, you got to look at not just the demographics, but like the situation previous to where the demographics got placed. Nobody asked to be a member of society that was derogatory in a sense where, like, okay, it became like almost looking at a regular thing for to have been to prison at least one time or jail or, like, you know, got to a youth detention center. It was like a regular thing. Right. It was like a rites of passage almost at times for people in the hood to have experienced that. But that's unfortunate, because even some people will say, I've had a two-family home and I still fucked up and did mad fucked up things. But then the fatherless community is majority more over a two-family home. So right. What is it about having a father influence or the mentality of the father that comes into the home and makes a stern, almost not religious, but it installs a different type of rites of passage that's necessary for us now, then, previous, present time, all of that.
Right. The father is the source, right? That's the other word that can identify a father. And the father has to have substance, right? Because you can be a man and not have substance because you choose to fill yourself with the things of this world. And when I say the things of this world, I mean the money, right? The material things, the lust, everything that could pretty much curve your appetite from understanding who you are as the source. Anything that can divert you and put you in a place where you are confused and not knowing, and you're just going whatever way, not taking the responsibility because you do not have the ability to respond.
So he's the spearhead of the home.
Of course.
And what are some attributes that a father should do as leader of his household, in your opinion?
First thing a father should do is make sure that, you know, there's life insurance, right, established, to make sure if he's gone, anything that was to happen to his wife, because it's just not being a father without a mother, knowing how to coexist and build to make sure that we are communicators as fathers, knowing that we should be able to forgive as well as be forgiven, because we are not perfect as fathers.
Well, nobody's saying that a man in general is ever perfect. you know. I'm just saying that, you know, human beings. Oh, you perfect?
Definitely.
Tell me why you're perfect.
I mean, not. I'm not gonna say.
You
just
thought
me.
I wasn't gonna ask you?
No, I'm not. I'm
you're
not
a dad, right?
Me. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, yeah, of course. There's a lot of dudes out here with no kids yet because they don't feel like it was their time, or maybe they had a lady have a lot of abortions, or maybe they asked the female to please excuse themselves out of their lives, because they're not qualified as a wifey material.
That's why I don't have kids. I'm 38 with no kids. I'm like, I'm not ready. I can't provide my kids with the money for the resources of that $30,000 a year education that I've seen other people have and come up in advances, you know. I feel like I can't, you know, provide the resources, and I don't want to.
What do you think about that?
That comes from the word I said earlier, which was responsibility, right? Having the ability to respond. And a lot of times individuals prematurely go into these relationships and they create a life and they don't even have the ability to respond to it because they still dealing with the stuff that they got to deal with themselves.
Yeah. I think we all want the perfect life for our kids at the end of the day. I mean, I was raised in a not so perfect situation. My mother was 16, my father was 17. My great grandparents raised me, but again, I came out perfect without them. So I think at the end of the day,
let me give you some claps for that.
Yeah, so,
because you recognize your purpose,
yeah, of course,
and you feel like you came out perfect because of someone else's viewpoints of imperfections, but they still continue to have you and raise you in this world. Right. Did you have a father figure?
I'm gonna just say this: it takes a community to raise a child.
Yes, I had many.
I had guys in the hood that was doing. The drug dealers was my father figure. They were telling me don't sell drugs.
They sell drugs.
Exactly.
Right? That's real cute.
But you don't listen to the messenger. You listen to the messenger. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I still love them, so I'm gonna say, all right, I'm not gonna do that. The businessmen in the communities, the corner store guys, the bodega guys, the whatever.
All these people raised you.
Yeah, I think for me.
They knew who you were. They acknowledged your mother.
Exactly.
And everyone played a part in your development.
Yeah, my great grandfather was my motivation. Like he was there with me until he died and I was 10, but he was there.
Okay.
So like one of the things with Faith, with Fathers Alive in the Hood, we created something called the Jegna program. Jegna is the Ethiopian word, which means protector of a culture, one who isn't afraid to speak truth to power and to be able to help our youth understand, not even just our youth, but we have individuals who are older and may not understand how the politics work in this corporation called America.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when we have these particular, these forums, and these forums were held in Redfern, mm-hmm. Queensbridge Housing Projects, right? Mm-hmm. Which is one of the biggest projects in America.
Mm-hmm.
Astoria Housing Projects, Cephalo Housing Projects in Brownsville, mm-hmm. Pink Houses in East New York.
Do you think it's more difficult for people to grow up in projects than houses?
I believe so. I'm when I say I'm from Queensbridge, I was born in South Jamaica, Queens, right? And my family went through the what we call the crack era. And I've watched,
which affects many households, whether they were in the projects or a house. Like, no, shit was crazy.
No, but see, it was ill because it was a dynamic of how the families had to transition from the houses into these projects. Because the first, when the crack came, everybody was selling it. But then when the people stopped, you know, when they making all of the money, it went from them selling the crack to them using some crack, right? And calling it coolies and calling it woolies, calling it different things. When you mixing it, like with the I think it was the tobacco with the right?
I forgot what it's called, but I know you're talking about. It was called a coolie. A little cocaine with the tobacco.
So then when you put the crack with the weed.
Wu-Tang told me it was called the woola.
The woola. So, man, you got situations, right?
Shout out to Wu-Tang for letting us know that don't be ashamed of your drug use, buddy. Let us know how it made you feel. So if you don't like it, we don't fuck with it.
Right.
If you know that, yo, it's been a devastating chain of events.
No, the chain of events was just so detrimental to our people to understand that when these particular things happen, they broke up the family, right? Because crack just means... Crack to me mean it shattered things. It shattered the black family. It shattered the black community. It shattered economics for us because we had the money, but we put it all in the material things that we didn't. We could have. What if we were invested in properties instead of the big rope chains and all of that? Like I see my uncle's ball out, man. And when I hear him talk about the father and the need of men, right, to be financially fit at this particular point in time, we have to be educated, we have to be motivated, and we definitely have to be in a position to be able to create change. But the only way we create change is dealing with what we have to deal with within ourselves.
And I want to piggyback on that because
I get into
a lot of debates with a lot of older guys, and my main thing is this. I think that a lot of the older guys...
Who you calling older? Let's talk about an age range here. We're not going to say we're talking about motherfuckers that turned 40 and shit.
Don't tell on yourself.
Listen.
So I'm going to give the age range. Let's say when I was growing up, I think, let's say when I was like...
How old are you right now?
I'm 38.
38.
So I'm saying, let's say when I was like 16.
He's in the age range of looking at older as being 60s.
Yeah, so when I think when I was 16... I would think a lot of the 40s and 50s kind of failed our communities because they was like, well, we're not gonna give game. They don't want it or they don't want to listen. And back in the days in the 50s and 60s and 70s, you had to follow suit.
Right.
It wasn't no, I'm taking my money and I'm going in the corner and I'm buying my car and I'm chilling and I don't care about the neighborhood. It was all about a community. So I think that
you want to bring it back like that.
Yeah, I mean, not so much bring it back because I can't do it by myself, but I mean, find people that's willing to collaborate.
Well, thank you for sitting with us because guess what you've got around you?
Yeah, definitely.
Nothing but that like-minded situation. Hannibal, this is the most quiet that I've had Hannibal on the set. Like, I'm surprised. Like, Hannibal, were you a fatherless child?
No. You know, I came from a two-parent household. I'm a product of divorce. You know, I have a son, I have a daughter. But in many ways, it's the idea of deferred gratification, which is the most difficult lesson to be able to teach anyone. Because it's saying
speak it
to somebody,
in layman's terms.
Well, no, it's saying like anything else. It's saying if you want something that's valuable, normally you're going to have to sweat in order to get it, and it might not happen right away.
Didn't we just talk about the sweat equity earlier listen, to get the result, you got to put in work. Money is hard for everybody. Like, you know, it's not like, you know, we just wake up and automatically just have money to fund a situation of entrepreneurship. But the thought in mind, which your higher power also calling you to purpose, shouldn't make it that much harder. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion.
But there's a big but here when it comes to fatherhood, because in the end, wanting to feel good in the moment, wanting to have sex without a condom, and not understanding the ramifications of that, I'm going to quote Miss Peaches, who's out on the beach, and saying, if men could think about the idea that if this woman was pregnant tomorrow, would I be willing to stay with her for the next 20 years and raise this
damn
child?
Well, Peachy was on point. You know, it's a nice thing to think that your family can have that type of tightness and togetherness, you know. But even when there are kids that have no father or mother, stepping up to the plate is like a duty for either parent. They love to always impress on women that mm-hmm. it is always mommy's baby, daddy's maybe. Have you guys ever heard that terminology?
You still saying that? I heard that in a while.
I heard that a long time ago.
You've heard it though, yeah. right?
It was something that was planted, like, you know, certain things like don't split the pole. You know what I mean? When you're walking in the street, don't split the pole. Like, those are the type of things that you...
Our producer, call. Juicy, doesn't ever split the pole. It's okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you with that.
Just the mere fact that, you know, when a man, the uncertainties of a man can prohibit him from even moving forward in a relationship.
So I'm going to just say this. Uncertainties in a man mm-hmm. come from what?
When you said, the word said, right? Mm-hmm. Mama's baby, mm-hmm. papa's maybe, right? So with that being said and planted subliminally in the mind of a man, right? And if he doesn't have a wife, right, and he hasn't committed and then had children, mm-hmm. I'm not to say there's nothing wrong with individuals who, I was one of those kids, my parents weren't married, mm-hmm. right? I've watched situations happen in my life where I see the dynamics of how things actually pan
not
out.
Not married, but were they actively in your life?
Of course, they were actively in my life.
So what for the father that's not actively involved at all, knowing it's his kid? And remember, this conversation is about anger management for the diaspora, so we're not going to make anything pretty. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You
well,
make
it's nasty. It's somebody that's really a coward and does not want to address the issues that he has with himself, because once he addresses those issues that he has with himself, then he can be able to actually stand up and be the man that he's supposed to be. But at this particular point in time, you have individuals who will dodge responsibilities because they don't have the ability to respond. One, because the mind has not developed to that level of even growing yet. They're still not only in a caterpillar stage, but they're still in a situation where they're just stagnated. And it's sad, you know what I mean? To watch the men, that's a, not even the males, that's supposed to be men, and stand up and say, listen, this is my child, I created it. I know that's my child. There's no doubt in my mind that, you know what I mean? Me and her was together, and this is what it is.
And I'm not going to make excuses, but there was one wonderful example that Butter had shared of a woman who was a caseworker, and she was a caseworker in a correctional institution dealing with young offenders. And she gave the example of, if she tells a young man, all right, son, you need to pull your pants up and get back in line. And the guy says, okay, you know, not a problem. A male comes along and says the exact same thing. F you, I'm not taking that from you. You're not my father. And the amazing part is what we realize is an unintended consequence is when a young man is raised without his father, he doesn't necessarily know how to respond to another man trying to be a part of his life. And I'm not making an excuse, but I'm keeping it 100% real.
I've heard that a lot.
As an educator, it was eye-opening now, for me, because I'm like, wow, that makes a lot of sense.
And that kind of reminds me of when Baby Boy got choked out. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Right, like, it's just, I just pictured Jody.
Fatherlessness is one of the root causes of violence in America.
Sure.
Fatherlessness. Mm-hmm. They could say, I don't know what they want to direct their situation at, but mm-hmm. not having the father in the household is one of the leading causes of violence. And I say that because America, as the corporation, is known to create its problems mm-hmm. and sell its solutions, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that goes from every different aspect in this corporation and what levels it is set
up. There's so many different ways we could look at that situation too, because even with the welfare system at one point in time, they didn't want the man in the household. And they didn't want the man in the household.
What was the movie, Claudine?
That's how it started, though.
What was the movie? Claudine, right?
Talking to the mic.
And that's why I wanted to, real quick, I want to make a point. You can make a point next. Like, 80 to 85% of black males who don't have a father raised in the household end up in the prison system, jail system, in some kind of way, whether they're arrested, warranted, issued, whatever, you know. And so I just want to put that out there. And, like, for white males, it's that same fact. It's like 20% of them end up in the system. So they still have some type of support system that keeps them out of jail where we're targeted.
Talking to the mic.
Yeah. Whether it's a grandfather
that's
or uncle
bad boy
figure.
On the ones and twos,
yeah, mic
y'all.
Check. Mm-hmm. I don't really got much to say because the gentleman is touching it so well that we're going to keep it pushing.
Don't you love it, though? Yeah.
I want to piggyback on that, too.
Please.
Because, I mean, we can say the men of today or fatherless, whatever. That almost sounds like a punchline. But what happened to is I think it's love and it's the relationship in general. Like, forget, you making a baby. But what about courting that person that you're going to love and you're going to say, I'm trying to be with this person forever and not just... I'm dating and I'm having sex and I'm all that stuff. Like when you get with this person and you make that your person, you're committed.
Was there a genuine connection?
Then right. You can have that family, yeah. And those steps is like, all right, yeah. If we break up down the line, that's cool. But and I was talking about dating, people don't even know how to partners.
Nobody no more.
They don't know how to be partners.
Well, if you think about this now, guys, right?
Partnership.
Think about this now too. With the whole virus situation that just went on with Corona, now imagine how many people had the same disconnect that you're talking about right now that
had sex. You know, I want to keep on this, right? He's making a great point. A lot of the men out there that are not taking care of their families, it is a direct result of they didn't really know that girl. Exactly. She was a jump off. Exactly. It was Hennessy and marijuana involved. Mm-hmm. Some Buju Bonton or some Barris came on. Maybe the condom popped. She's pregnant. I know she was sleeping with my homeboy. I know they ran the train on over there. Now, that's not my child.
Shout out to all the
it is my
in the
child.
Building.
It's a dub. That's what's going on. So I think that a lot of this stems from the women, the young ladies. Yo, a lot of times we look at the men, exactly. But we have to look at the ladies. Ladies set the tone.
But and not
a
only
generation
that, guys,
we can't overlook one point though.
It's
no
the ladies
child
y'all chose.
Has to be here.
Right.
No child has to be here.
But you saw how they came.
But it doesn't matter. The
it
child didn't
matter.
Ask to be here.
But let me,
so we have a responsibility to the
now
child.
Now, when you say we, who? The father or the whole community?
I would argue the father and the whole community.
I would agree with the whole community, but I'm going to get back to that father. Mm-hmm. Again, when that baby was conceived that we're talking about, that the community has to take care of now, there was no respect from the get-go. There exactly. was no partnership exactly. from the get-go. It was a jump-off with Hennessy and marijuana and some good music that motivated us.
Well, we probably
had a condom on, but it may have broke. So now I'm hearing that this is my kid, but I told you, I know you slept with him. I know they ran the train on you. I ain't gonna get no DNA. Most of these kids ain't even a reflection of a DNA test. It's just the hood saying that's my kid.
There will always
so
be
not
a reason not to go to the gym.
Yo, listen.
That's all I can tell you.
Look,
you gotta
listen,
put in that work.
When I was a teenager, right?
You gotta put in that work.
I was 17.
Dirty
years
work
old.
Out here like in that, Brooklyn, right? New York, work, man. Like dirty okay. works.
Yo,
in right. Brooklyn, New York, man.
I was 17 years old when I experienced that whole ordeal.
When you took your condom off and said it's my turn.
Nah, I had intentional unprotected sex, right?
Intentional unprotected sex at 17,
right? And that's my real thing was if she had gotten pregnant, I'm a man up.
You were ready to be with baby Zazzy.
And I got locked up probably when I was about around the same time she was pregnant, right? And when I came home, I got my life together. I think I was 19 years old at that time when I got home. I got
you went to Job Corps?
No, I was in Phoenix House. Listen, I got listen. I was 17. They said, listen, take a four and a half.
I'm not laughing at anybody.
They said take a 4.5 to 9 or a 12 to 24 month program. Right?
What you gonna take?
That was a no-brainer. I took the program.
All right.
So taking a program, I started getting myself together and when I came home, I had my high school diploma, and then I also became a substance abuse counselor, and I worked in Project Return in the
you
Bronx.
You got your KSAC?
I was the youngest substance abuse counselor in the field, so I go to the baby mama crib.
You made yourself relatable.
I made myself, relatable. I went to the baby mama crib.
Mm-hmm.
So the baby mama says, you need to go get that boy, put him on child support. Look, he making money now. So I said, wow, so you want to put me on child support? All right. So we went through the whole process. I'm still at work. I get a beat one day. This is the time when the pages was the thing, right? And it just was 911. So I go to the phone, the pay phone, because we didn't have a cell phone wasn't popping. I had to go to the pay phone.
All right.
And I'm in FDR pool with a caseload of 22 adults. I get the message. You don't have to worry no more. The baby's not yours. This is 4 years, right? This is 4 years, right?
In your bread, and it wasn't a hassle.
4 years. Now everything in me crumbled, like my whole soul, my whole gut just crumbled.
Roller coaster.
And
that's crazy.
And it created a monster in me.
Of course.
My work ethic started spiraling.
Word.
It took me into a place that no man would want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I just wanted—I keep it that like radio sensitive to that place. Mm-hmm. But not having a father is one thing. But when you're having intimacy with a woman and she tells you this is the child, but yet plants a seed prior to that that she got raped, right, at a party while I was alleged. Already like
sounds familiar. I heard that before.
It sounds right. Like a lot.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
The
so
process.
there's a lot to process. Now that created like that willingness even for me now to drive and move forward to understand that, you know, as young men, we're going to go through some things that's going to really break us down. But we have to know how to build ourselves up.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that we can have to wait for others to build us
up. So let's say how fathers alive in the hood does that for young men.
Yes.
Because we're going to wrap the show up very, very soon.
So tomorrow, tomorrow in Queens on 114 in Sufton, we're starting back. Consist of COVID-19 situation, a lot of the programs has been stopped. So we have a Each One, Teach One forum that we host. And what I do is I go to the neighborhood vendors, which is all of the restaurants and the stores. And I say, listen, I got a group that I'm hosting in this particular location from 7 to 9. I need some food donated. Will you help us? 9 times out of 10, they give us, you know, good feedback.
So your organization is growing in multitudes right now with your network, right?
Yes, your
and
network enhances
you,
your
you
network.
You want to be able to do more outreach. Tell the people where they can find you.
Well, definitely Fathers Alive in the Hood on Instagram, fathersaliveinthehood.org, that's our website. You can put Cash App, right? Fathers Alive Cash App.
That's what it is, man, to support the situation.
The Best Nation is a donation. And when you look on these particular sites, even on Facebook, Fathers Alive in the Hood Movement on Facebook. We've been established since 2011. When you talk about finances and expecting money for the work you do, I would be a liar to say that I was receiving any kind of income from anybody. Everything that we do, we insource, literally.
Out of his pocket.
Okay, great.
Out of him and his
and
wife's
we
pocket.
We really appreciate the fact that you guys have such a great faith-based organization.
Yes, that's a fact.
Sitting to the right of you, please let them know where they can find you, please.
Yeah, I'm at the Black Country Club. You know, it's real easy, the Black Country Club. If you Google
it. He wants to make the entrepreneurs come together.
Yeah, me and him going to build. That's
Not even entrepreneurs, just basically like, we don't need to go sit at no table if we all collectively put our money together, like the Black Wall Street. You just put our own money in and see it through. And do what the Jews do.
I was just
talking about recently how if we were to form a cooperative as parents, right? So if we get like 25 kids, right?
Definitely.
We got 25 parents, and we get a space and we can be able to.
They don't
get
even
the got to
be fatherless.
Right?
Some of them is like family guy, and we don't want them to be dads.
Right. So you know what I mean? We could be able to establish the educational system, right?
Oh, definitely. That's what I'm all about, teaching our own kids.
Fantastic. Right. Bad Boy, please tell them where they can find you at.
Yeah. Y'all already know, man. Big Face Bad Boy. You can find me at Bad Boy Trainer on IG.
Getting that kinetic fitness in.
Yeah, but I want to shout out my Bloods and my Crips. I want to take a commercial break and shout them out. It's about them today. I want to shout out Das_T's and Mr_Crownsville. What they got going on this Saturday, August 15th, is a gangster give back. These are Bloods and Crips. that have come together to feed the community.
Awesome.
This is big. Yes. You won't hear this on Fox 5. You won't hear this on CNN.
They won't you'll promote hear that.
You'll
They'll
hear
promote that,
that
the black on black crime.
That,
you
know? So I want to shout them dudes out, man. Pop out. Come watch. Come be in awe at our gangsters giving back productivity to the community. Saturday, August 15th. You can find me Wednesday, every Wednesday, from 8:30 to 10:30 at the Skate Your Ass Off COVID edition, man. All pop right. out on me, man. That's all I got to
awesome,
say, man.
Awesome. Militant Moles, where can they find
that
you and why?
Good. I'm a videographer, so maybe I should come up next for the and show up.
Sell
man.
That product,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, man, because the main media not going to cover it, so Militant News is going to cover it. I'm Militant Moles on Instagram. It's spelled like it sounds, Militant, M-O-S-E. I do a lot of videography work, photography work. I work with civil rights leaders like Sean King, Lee Merritt. Created the John Lewis tribute that is displayed on their video as of recently. And so for anybody who needs videography work, photography work, or you need a videographer you can trust who won't put anything out there to TMZ, please hit me up, Militant Moles.
On the gram. All right, Hannibal.
DJ Hannibal 06 on the gram. And let me also throw out there, anybody who needs to get registered to vote in Georgia, reach out to me. I am an expert on voting in Georgia and dealing with voter suppression. And let's get my pastor, Pastor Raphael G. Warnock, let's get him elected to the Senate.
Let's do it, man. Mm-hmm. And everybody that wants to follow the Butters Basics show, make sure that you follow Butters, B-U-T-T-E-R-S _ Basics, B-A-S-I-C-S. And that's on the gram. And if you want to follow me, the host, my name is Butter, B-U-T-T-E-R. But my Instagram is Gazebo, G-A-Z-Z-E-B-O. That's 2 Z's, so you don't sleep. 11210, because I'm a Brooklyn girl all day, every day. That's how and where you can find me here at DTF Radio, the platform for the unknown to get known. We're internationally local, 2 to 3 p.m. here. DTF Radio. Peace, everybody. Have a great day.
Peace.